What is solar punk? I mean, we have a very beautiful definition in the program about an aesthetic movement and a cultural movement that aims to be like the, you know, brighter side of cyberpunk. But the thing that excites us really about solar punk is not just the plans and the Studio Ghibli vibes and this, you know, solar tech and the green tech, but it's more the vibe or how we imagine like really living there in the future. Like, how does it really feel to be a person living in solar punk? And that is essentially what the imaginary is. Because if we look at the difference between cyberpunk and solar punk, is not so much the tech that's different, as in like the infrastructure that we're in, because pretty much they're both like highly advanced technological societies, but it's rather like how we're using this technology. And the difference in precisely how we use and the narratives, the cultural narratives and like the cultural background in which these two very different worlds take place is the imaginary. So basically they're similar infrastructure, but just a different imaginary, that different manifestations of the imaginary that take place. And imaginaries are this word that gets, that gets thrown a lot, around recently. It's just become, it's this concept in sociology that is kind of new to our imaginary again, but right now it's getting a lot of traction. And there is a specific reason of why we're talking about imaginaries now, and we haven't been talking about imaginaries in say the past 50 years so much. And this is because imaginaries, to really understand them and the difference that they have between like mere cultural narratives or ideologies, is because they're especially relevant when we're talking, when humanity or our civilization is making a very big leap, a very big transition, then that transition isn't really happening just at the level of culture or ideologies, and I'm going to get more into detail later, but it's a leap that's happening in imaginaries. And for you to really understand this, I'm going to walk you through how imaginaries were born and how the imaginaries evolved with us. So, little imaginary session. This will be relevant for the workshop too. Imaginaries 101. So, how did the imaginaries were born? Well, so here you can see we're these hunter-gatherer societies enjoying a nice bonding fire by the lake. And you know, back in this time, we're starting to collaborate with each other. We're starting to create you know, this language, and we're starting to create culture, and we need this social glue that keeps us together, and that it provides a framework in which it makes it easier to collaborate with each other. And that social glue at the beginning, before culture, is the fact that we're all directly related, either by blood, so we're all kin, or related by sharing food and resources in the close tribe, or also related to the fact that we were all dependent on the same environment to live. So we had this like natural connection to the natural world, and that was the glue that kept us working. And so the thing is that both kinship and the natural environment, they're real things. Like, they're not imaginary. Like, if you're my son or my daughter, that's a very real connection. I'm just not making up. And that, or if we're like sharing food together, that's a very real connection that we have. And same with the environment, like the trees, the river that we took the fish in and the water in, like those were all real material stuff. But what we did is that we elevated these concepts and we created an imaginary dimension on top of them. So that's the imaginary. It's like, that's how like the simulation starts. We create the concept of the tribe, like this cohesion that we have, like collective coherence. And then we have the spirit. The spirit is like these, like, call it like the spirit, that's my naming. We call it like the flow of life, the chi. That's the belief that everything was kind of the same. And that's how our like first beliefs in animism started. So there's like these, like natural flow of love, this like natural energy that is like manifested through everything, and then we're all like part of it. But yeah, so that's like how the first imaginaries were born. But what happened later is that with the rise of agricultural city states, we, first of all, we become much more people, so we are less in touch. The concept of a tribe, that we're all like related or like sharing food with each other, like that's not true anymore. We surpass this 150 Dunbar number, and we also we're right now in agricultural city states, what we're doing is like mostly cultivating grains. That's a classic Harari, how the grains actually dominated us. But what that did is that this greatly diminished the connection that we had to our natural environment. And so this made our first stories to like start breaking. So what did we need in order to continue collaborating? Then we needed to create different stories. And so what we did is that from the tribe, we created the concept of the king, and we were all part of the king's kingdom. There's this like metaphor that, but actually was taken quite literally, that everything is, it's part of the same kingdom. We're all like the body of the king. So the king has, like the king is just the environment, but we're all like part of the same thing. And everyone, no matter if you're like a priest, a peasant or a princess, like we're all exactly in the place that we need to be in the great order of life. That's called the great chain of being. And that's what created a lot of cohesion. There was no so much intention that we needed to progress or that you need to change your role, because that was the role that was meant for you. And everyone fit perfectly in this divine order of the universe. And so that was king and the kingdom that like kept us together. But then from the spirit, we capitalized, we personified the spirit into like capital G gods, that now they ruled every part of our life. They ruled every part of our existence. Okay, now fast forward quite some years, many things happened between. But when do we have again a very big transition of imaginary? Well, that's during the Enlightenment, the 18th century Enlightenment. We discover science, scientific method, rationality, and the stories of gods and kings, they just, you know, don't cut it anymore. And what do we do in order to keep collaborating with each other? Well, we create new ideas, we create new stories. So instead of the king that rules everything according to divine guidance, now we have nation states that are ruled not by kings, but every man is its own king now. And it's the self-governing of the people. We all like govern each other in our own sovereignty. And then from the gods, like this ultimate authority that we want to explain everything that happened in society, we create the concept of the economy. And in the economy, everyone has its own right place too. We derive our worth from our productivity and like how well we're like contributing to the economy and the nation. It's just a different story that we create in order to get this cohesion working. A little clarification here, that doesn't mean that the concept of kings or gods is completely ruled out. As we well know, there's still kings even today, and there's many people still that believe in God. It's just that they stop being the main definition, like the main cluster that we all group ourselves around in society. Okay, now the things about imaginaries that really, really like prevalent, like they inform and they impact every single aspect of our social existence, starting with our conception of the self. So how we think of ourselves and our place in the world is greatly defined by the imaginary that we inherit. And so, as you know, before, in a pre-modern social imaginary, mostly a good person was someone that was a good Christian, that like knew their place in the great order of things, and they just did their role very well. And now we change when we change to modernity. It's like, oh, now you have much more agency, and you can change things. And the great qualities of someone is maybe how productive they are, how much they contribute to their nation, how much they contribute to the economy. We change from like the most elite people being the noble born and being the priests and the clergy, to the most noble people being entrepreneurs or scientists. So that's a meme that we're going to use later, essentially this, capitalism versus what we would have in pre-modern social imaginary. And this is actually like quite relevant, for example, if we look like this time during quarantine that we were all so stressed, like this, you know, deep fear of not being productive is indeed like a made up fear, especially by our current modern imaginary. It affects a lot our conception of relationships, of what are good and fair relationships and how should be relating for each other, how should be relating with each other. For example, before we would have much more our good relationships were the ones in which you know your role. So maybe like your role in life is to be a father, is to be a good wife, is to be a peasant. And that's the thing, like that's how you're made to be in the great order of things. And that's your divine role. And you just need to do that very well. While when we transition to a pre-modern social imaginary, roles change a lot. And even they start getting a contractual undertone. So good relationships are when we know each other's position, and we know their goals, and we help each other collaborate with these goals, and we make contracts and agreements, like for example the social contract. And then we need to same like keep this contract with honor and responsibility. Okay, and also of course it affects a lot the conceptions of the systems that we're ingrained in, systems being natural systems or social systems. And yeah, a great example for this is social contract versus the divine order of the cosmos. It's what provides directionality. Like, how do we take decisions? Should, you know, and who rules things? Is it just, you know, God's word, or is it, do we have a meritocracy? Do we have a public sphere that we're all debating, you know, ideas and let the best ideas win? So as we can see, the imaginaries are the collective unconscious. I say it's the what mediates our psyches, all of our psyches and our collective vision of society. And they are what create coherence, common coherence, directionality, like what should we be aiming for? And they are essentially what create our sense of normality. Normality, again, this is something that we talked about a lot this year, 2020, where normality is gone, where are we going back to normal? This is also very much related in the imaginary, as I'm going to explain now. And this is also why, they say a very common metaphor to refer to them is to say that imaginaries are like water for the fish. So it's something that is all around us, that we're like completely immersed in, but for most of us, they remain completely invisible. And difference again with what I said like at the beginning, how are they different from culture ideology? Well, I say that imaginaries are like the API of social life. So they're essentially like the canvas where we construct all the other things, where we construct like all the other narratives or ideologies. And this is very much explicit when if you look at the ideologies that we created in the modern, during the modern imaginary, so like capitalism, communism, socialism, or like fascism, they all directly refer either to the economy, like capitalism, communism, or socialism. Like they're just different ideas on how should we organize the economy, or to fascism, like they refer directly to the nation state. And that's why, like when we're talking about culture change, you know, the next ideologies is what we will have, like the ones that really make a leap of imaginary, they can't be constrained just with economy and nations, but we need to like really reinvent the whole thing, like think of better stories. So to sum it up, social imaginaries, they are the unconscious collective dimension that organizes our social life. And even though they are imaginary constructions, they are not actually real in the material sense, they are very deeply rooted in material reality. So as the world evolves, we evolve with it. Okay, now how is this relevant for today? In many ways, because like, you know the gist, this is like a tech conference. So technology is deeply changing our world, like deeply changing our material reality. Then we have globalization, same. It's really like blurring the boundaries of the nation state. This is a trend that has been happening for a longer period of time too. And then we have the paradox of capitalism, the fact that capitalism has been incredibly great in the sense of creating a world of vast material abundance, and it has greatly elevated our standards of living in many metrics, but at the same time, it's really depleting our natural world, created an epidemic of bullshit jobs and a deep sense of meaninglessness for a lot of people. There's like deep social and economic inequality, all of that. So what we're seeing is that the main pillars that our imaginary is built on, nation states and the economy, are being, they're bleaching, like they're being deconstructed, they're being made less relevant, similar to what we had when gods and kings were glitching, were being replaced with new ideas. And same this goes with the fourth, like the different industrial revolutions that happen. And what does that make us? So that makes us narrative orphans, in the sense that normality is gone. The collective coherence that we grouped ourselves under is breaking. And now we all look like Meme Man. So Meme Man, for those of you who are not familiar with it, is this character that comes from the surreal memes, type of memes that, I mean, I guess some of you might be familiar with it. And I think it really like represents very well that feeling of weirdnessness and that feeling of like, what the fuck is going on, that is so prevalent in these past years, and especially today, especially in 2020. And what happens when we're in this position where like the grand narratives have like all broken down? Well, so we still need this social glue, we still need cohesion, but it's hard to get that. So we have essentially the right that wants to go back to the previous narratives that we have, and that's why their right today is like appealing to, you know, make America great again, or like, you know, like a lot of like nationalism, because that's where we feel safe, like that's a narrative that we're all familiar with, the nation state. And that's why the left is essentially just eating itself, and like the left's greatest plan is just to say no to what the right is doing, but it doesn't really feel like they have a grand vision for what could come next, that it's mostly based in just saying no to the rise of the alt-right. And so what that makes us is our current society is like, we have the most advanced iPhone, like say the iPhone 2020, but we're still running on a very old software, on essentially like 18th century software. That's even way more older than Snake, but that's the better analogy that I could come up with. And as we all know, what happens when there's such a big difference between our software and hardware? Well, that our devices start to glitch. So what we have today, what we've seen a lot this year, is that our current social imaginary, all of our current narratives, they're glitching, they're breaking down. And to be honest, this is not a trend that has been unique of 2020, even though this year has been magnified. This is essentially like a lot of accumulation of changes that were happening during the years. It really, at least for me, started to break in 2016 with a sense of these like really like weird, these like descending to the weirdness that comes with like Harambe, like the meme of Harambe, the gorilla that was dead. Then the major glitch was the election of Donald Trump that put the whole world on hold. And it's before we had this like sense of normality, even though normality is always extremely constructed, but then it really starts to break recently, 2016. And that's the weird thing. We have it opens up this like era where like things just like seem to like start getting very weird. The simulation starts glitching more and more. What changed with this year is that we have Corona, and Corona comes and it really puts the whole world on hold. What it made us is it really made us open the eyes. So like before, we could still pretend that, you know, things were kind of like, okay, we had this sense of things are weird, but most of us could still carry on with our normal lives and pretend that this was not happening. What has changed really in like 2020 is that now we're just forced to drop the pretense, to like just accept, because it's like straight up in your face, that things are extremely weird and these things just keep getting weirder and weirder. But what did Corona really change? So, you know, we have been talking a lot about the future of work, the future of education, and now it's just real. Now we're all working from our homes, and there's students, like students from, you know, their laptop with like digitalized content. The retail apocalypse that has been building up actually for quite a while, but now it's here essentially by law, as all of our corner shops are closed and then we're all forced to buy on Amazon. Then the social inequality, that same, we've been talking about it for a while. Now it's just plain seeking the obvious as we, you know, divide our workers between essential workers and non-essential. All the tech people being able to like get their money regardless, but you're working from home while so many of others are just, yeah, actually right there. Massive surveillance, but now we're asking for it. Having people asking the government to like trace all of our contacts. The ascent of China, the decline in the US. Like, is there any time that it's just more real how the US is really breaking down? The demand for fossil fuels completely drops, and the fragility of our supply chains get completely exposed. So those all of these are trends that they had been building up for a long time, but because we're so reluctant to change, we're postponing, because I mean change is really hard, so we were postponing them. And then Corona really like forces us, and it just blasts open the gates of the future in a way. And that's why the first days of the pandemic felt so weird, because we were literally fish that had been taken out of the water. It's like fish in the void, in the narrative void. And now the big question is, what is next? Because will all these weirdness change tomorrow at 12, you know, when we get finally to 2021? Will this, you know, will we like restart? Are we ever going back to normal? And the thing is that for me, normality, we might get some sense of routine, and we might get some sense of that things are somewhat stable-ish, like we're getting it right now. I mean, after all, we're animals of habit, so we get used to whatever we have. But normality in the sense that, you know, we know where we're at, and we have like a narrative that can make sense of our life and our relationships, and a shared sense of directionality that we're all working, that we're all walking towards. That's not going to happen anytime soon. That sense of like having a like new imaginary that we all share, it's going to take some more work and some more years, and definitely a lot more weird things happening and a lot more glitches happening. And that's why I would say, welcome to the perma weird. Welcome to the perma weird world. This is actually a concept by Venkatesh Rao. I highly encourage all of you who are interested in this weirdening and breaking down of imaginaries to check out his work. And yeah, now we're going to go to a workshop where we're going to try to, instead of getting stuck in the perma weird, imagine how it would be to be another human in 2070. So imagine, how does it feel to live in a solar punk imaginary? So thank you very much for being here. It was lovely. And yeah.